As a part of Morning Edition and on a Wednesday, WNCW now presents More to the Story. Hello again, everybody. I'm Paul Foster. It's been just a little over a week ago that the Clemson Tigers won the national championship in college football. Now it seems like that orange has never shined so bright in upstate South Carolina and all over the place for alumni of that university. Our guest is a sports reporter from the Greenville News, Scott Kiepfer. Scott, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be with you, Paul.
Scott, of course, there were high expectations entering the 2016 season for Clemson. They, of course, were in that national title game with Alabama the season before. What was it like for Clemson when they first entered the 2016 regular season on what they thought would be a path to another national title game?
All of this began last year after the close loss to Alabama. In that post-game, litter-strewn, tear-filled locker room, you kind of detected a resolve that they would be back to this place. Kind of all began with quarterback Deshaun Watson, but tight end Jordan Leggett declared that he was returning for another season because he wanted to play for a national championship. And there just seemed to be an immediate resolve, and Coach Sweeney has touched on that many times this season, that this result began the day of that loss.
Now, when they completed the regular season, and some people may have not even remembered this, they did actually have one loss.
Right. They kind of got off to a slow start, less than comfortable victories against Auburn and Troy. But then they kind of got on a little roll, and then they really should have lost to NC State. the Wolfpack missed a last-second field goal regulation that would have won it, and that was a wake-up call. But 2 weeks later, they lost to Pittsburgh. The timing of it was perfect because just about everybody else in the top 10 lost that week, too. If you're going to lose on that Saturday, right? After that, they really finished with a great stretch run against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl and throwing that 31-0 shutout. I never saw that coming. I thought that the Ohio State game was a good matchup for Clemson, but I never imagined them 31-0 victors. That kind of added more fuel to the fire.
Then there was the championship game. So many people were tuned in. Would you say from you and your fellow sports reporting team that was there, goes down as just one of the greatest games a lot of people had ever seen?
No question. We kept looking at each other after the game, kind of shaking our heads like, wow. It may be years or decades before we see another game that comes down to the wire like that, and it's so intriguing. And the momentum flips so many times just in the fourth quarter. 1 minute you're saying, oh, well, Alabama's got this wrapped up, and then, oh, Clemson's going to win. And it was just back and forth and highly entertaining to watch the two best teams in the country waging a battle like that. I think the key to Clemson, once again, as it has been for the past 3 years, was having a quarterback with the capabilities of Deshaun Watson.
This is More to the Story from WNCW, as we're joined by the Greenville News and Scott Kiepfer talking about Clemson's national title run as that wrapped up last week with the huge win over Alabama. Scott, what has life been like there in Clemson since winning that big game?
I don't know if this celebration is ever going to die down. They had an incredible parade and had the celebration in Death Valley in the stadium. I thought maybe you might have 25,000 people show up or something like that, open it to the public. It was a stadium that was essentially on a game day. It looked filled to me. I mean, if you had taken all the people that had gathered on the field itself and put them in the bleachers, the stadium would have been filled. And so we're talking, I think, 80,000 people were there. They were hungry for this. It's been 35 years in the making, and I don't see the fervor dying down anytime soon. I would fully expect to see 60,000 at the spring game in April. This is a hungry bunch of football fans in this area.
For a long time, you used to always hear, going back to that first national championship in the glory days of Danny Ford, we don't have a Danny Ford
right
anymore. Well, I tell you what, Dabo certainly, I think, is making a lot of people not have to worry as much about the Danny Ford days anymore. What would you say about Dabo and his charisma and how the fans have taken to this new coaching legend, so to speak?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And funny is, it seems like ever since Danny stepped down, but return to this area to live, every time there's a coaching change at Clemson, we want Danny Ford, we want Danny. And he was immensely popular, and still is. But I think this kind of puts the icing on the cake for Clemson, what Dabo has accomplished. This was 6 straight years of 10 or more victories, which Danny Ford never accomplished that. He's really now entrenched Clemson among the nation's elite. The fans in this area are expecting, every year, we're going to be a top 10 team and competing for national championship. Dabo certainly has established himself, and the way he's recruiting, it looks like it may not slow down for years.
And before we wrap up, we've got to talk about some of the star players that have left their mark on Clemson football for generations to come. How many of those players have a legit chance to maybe play on the next level as a pro? And we, of course, are talking about the NFL. I know it's got to start with the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and a guy who comes from this area of Rutherford County, played at nearby Chase High School, was the defensive tackle Carlos Watkins.
Boy, Carlos Watkins' stock is really just blown up in the playoffs, basically. I mean, he really proved himself. He's got great size, super quickness for a guy that big, and just a constant motor, and just a great kid all around. But I think he could go in the first or second round. Look, Clemson could have as many as 11 players drafted, which is just remarkable. And in fact, we were commenting during the championship game that there were 24 potential NFL draft picks in the game between Alabama and Clemson. Most of Clemson's talent was on offense, starting with Watson, of course, and he'll be a first-round pick, probably top half of the first round, I would say, just because of his dual threat capabilities. What separates him is his coolness under pressure. He's always poised. He can throw an interception. It does not faze him. He comes back and completes 15 passes in a row, stuff like that. Well, you know, Lane Gallman, the running back, will certainly be picked. Mike Williams, I believe the wide receiver, will be the first receiver taken in the draft. He maybe go higher than Deshaun. I think he's a top 10 pick. So the good news for Clemson, looking ahead, is, you know, the past few years, Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator, has had to rebuild his defense. They've lost so many players to the draft early or graduation. This year, he'll have eight of the starters from the championship game back next year. That's a blessing. But the defensive guys that are going, like Carlos and Ben Bulware and Cordray Tankersley, the safety, they should all be very high draft picks.
What about for the ACC as a whole? I think not only has Clemson stood bright, I believe that ACC football was pretty strong going into some of those big bowl games.
I think a 9-3 bowl record, you could make the argument this season that the ACC was the best football conference in the country. I mean, they had considerably better head-to-head records against the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big 10. You know, the proof's in the pudding. The leaders of the league and the coaches will tell you to a man, you know, this is what they needed.
Thanks for recapping the Clemson football journey that ended up with a national championship. From the Greenville News, sports reporter Scott Kiepfer, thank you.
Glad to do it, Paul. Thank you.
More to the stories are also available as podcasts on our website at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.